Tonight, we're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about relationships in the body of Christ. Mostly, we're going to get our scripture from Ephesians 4:15 and Colossians 1:9. Talking about relationships in the body of Christ, keys to the prosperity of the body of Christ and of our individual prosperity within the body of Christ. Now, in Ephesians 5:30, the Lord said, or Paul said this about us. He said, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. This is a great, tremendous blessing the Lord has given us. And, you know, you could say these things and they're just like little facts on a paper. But if you meditate and the Lord speaks into your heart that we are members of Christ's body, of his flesh, and of his bones, no wonder he could put his glory upon us, you know. We are the Lord's people, and this is a great privilege. So we're going to start out by reading Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So the apostle here lays out a goal for us, that we each and all become mature to the point of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So that means that's possible, and he's willing to help us. Now, how does he bring this to pass? Because God has to do that. So if we keep reading, we go to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So that's like a complicated sentence, but if we look at it, we'll look at it and make sense of it. So first he's saying that the body of Christ has parts. So we already know that, but we're the parts of the body. And it also, it makes its increase or maturity, it matures according to the working of every part. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, as the body is one and had many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So we're each individuals, yet we're one in the Lord. We're individually parts of his body, and together we are the body of the Christ, of Christ. Each of us is the dwelling place of God. The Holy Spirit lives in each one. A burning fire inside, and he lives in there, and that makes us, each of us, a temple of God. Now, but together, but we each have Christ in us, but we are not in ourselves the body. Together we make up the body of Christ. So I'm an American, but I am not America. But all the Americans make America. And so I'm a Christian, but I am not Christ. But all the Christians together make up the body of Christ. Now, there's a scripture that's really neat in Ephesians 1:22. It says that he's gave Christ to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The fullness of Christ is in the body of Christ. Now, there's a relationship between the parts of the body. And if we read here, I don't want to say that yet. There's nourishment that flows through the body from the head. The source of this nourishment is the head, is Christ. Now, we are connected to the head, but we're also connected to each other. It says there what we already read, the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So we're connected to the head and to one another. Now I want to read Colossians 2:19, which is a complementary scripture. It says, not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So this scripture adds two words. It adds the words bands, and it adds the thought that nourishment is ministered from the head through the joints and bands. Now these joints and bands are our connections. They're the relationships we have with other believers and with our head. And these are what hold us together and are the means by which the head nourishes the individual parts of the body, you and I. So first we'll talk about the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the most important relationship. And without this relationship, we don't have any other relationship. I have no relationship to you except by the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're all, if we weren't saved, we all came from Adam and Noah. But other than that, that's it. But now we have a special relationship because of Jesus Christ. Now, we each have a direct relationship with him that gives us access to the Father. We're his children. He hears our prayers. He receives our worship. He always considers. You know, when we talk to God, he considers what we say. He never brushes us off. You could pray 50 times, and it seems like he doesn't listen. But he listens. He knows every prayer. He's just waiting for the right moment. Maybe he's waiting for an adjustment in us, or maybe an adjustment for somebody else. And he also gave us the Word of God, the Bible. And I have a gauge how much we can judge how much God loves us. And here's the gauge. Think of the person on earth or people on earth that you love the most. Your mom, your pop, your child, your husband, your wife. And you know how very much you love them. Well, if you magnify that by 100 times, you might have an inkling of how much Jesus Christ loves you. Amen. And that is as much as you could ever imagine he loves you is only the beginning of how much he really loves you, which we will understand throughout all eternity, increasingly through the ages. So the next part of the body we're going to talk about is what I call the neck, and that's the pastor. So we have the head, we have all the bodies of parts of the body of Christ, and we have the pastor. So now even though we have a direct link to Jesus Christ, God talks to us through the pastor. You know, even like an army needs a chain of command or there'd just be confusion, right? Every organization has to have organization or there's just confusion. Nothing good will ever come. This group will go this way and this group will go that way and individuals every which way. But the pastor is the shepherd. He makes the sheep go the same way. He leads the sheep, right? Now, sometimes you want to witness to somebody and you'll say, tell them about Jesus Christ, you know, and they say, oh, I believe in God, but I don't believe in organized religion. But Jesus Christ believed in organized religion. He sent out the 12. He sent out the 70. And then, you know, the apostles created, you know, deacons and elders. And so there is organized religion. There's the fivefold ministry that we spoke of before. And so there is organized religion. Now, Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So remember them. What he means is, I believe, to pray for them and to take care of them. You know, they minister to us in the spirit. We should minister back in natural things, their provision, and also in many prayers. You know, they pray for us all the time. Now, pastors provide a covering for the flock. So if you listen to the scripture, and you have to think about it because it might not jump out, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you, because I have you in my heart. Because they were in Paul's heart, he knew that the Lord would complete the work. So that's like a covering. He was their pastor, and there's a covering. There's a covering. Now, but the covering is conditional. because we have to partake of the covering. So if he goes on in the scripture, he says, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are partakers of my grace. We have to partake. It's not exactly clear, and I don't fully understand it, but you have to partake of the pastor's grace. He says, see, the word inasmuch, in the bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. He's saying if you're flowing in the same vision, is what he's saying, as I interpret that. Now, I have two examples of a covering of the pastor, how it could work. So one time I had these severe pains in my elbows and all through here, and I would work, and every day I'd be in pain. And as time went on, I started thinking, you know, I better go to the doctor. And then I said, wait a minute, that's stupid. I'm a Christian. I should go to the pastor first and get prayed for. And I made a decision, I'm going to go to the pastor, with Pastor Wallace. And you know that I don't think I ever had to get prayed for. Once I made that decision, the pain went away. It was gone. So it came under the covering. It came under the covering. And another time, I had a pain in my leg. There it was, every day my leg would hurt, and I'm working using my legs. And I remember Pastor David Krupp had said once that he thought the Lord was going to use him in healing. So I went up to him. I says, I remember you said that. I said, how about praying for me? And he did. And my leg got better. Although one other time I went to him and he prayed for me and I didn't get better. But, you know, God does what he does. And I'm thankful. So anyway, and then one other thing it says, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. See, one of the ways we're nourished is the pastor is there, and and we see him and watch him every week. And even going back to Pastor Bailey, if you think about it, Pastor Bailey colors this whole fellowship. And, you know, Pastor Wallace colors our fellowship. And anyway, that's one of the ways that we're nourished. See, that's one of the joints and bands we have, is through the pastor. Now, also, you know, they're always seeking the Lord. They have to pray continually, what do I preach Sunday? You know, and because they're the ones who are appointed by God, it's the Lord said before, he says he gave pastors, right, for the edification of the body. So that means the Lord's going to honor that he's installed the pastor, and he's going to give him the appropriate word. And he's also going to give the pastor, you know, words in season for when we need counsel. Amen. Okay, so now we talked about Christ the head and the pastor the neck. Now we'll talk about each other. So we have connections to each other. We are connected and bonded in the same body with every Christian that ever was born and died and ever will be born and died or raptured. Every Christian that ever was, we have a bond with one of them. When you read those old stories about, you know, I remember this one named Blandina, some French girl, I think she was a martyr, and all these martyrs and all these old saints, we're bonded with them. We are bonded with them and with everyone that will yet come. Now, also beyond that, we have close connections with certain appointed Christians. You know, yes, we're connected with Christians in Vietnam and China and Europe, but we have close connections with certain ones among us, right? So in Ezekiel 37:7, Ezekiel prophesied, he says, and so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. So you remember the dry bones, and he prophesied, and they became a and then they had flesh, they came to life. So in a sense, that's a picture of the church. And bone to his bone. It didn't put a heel up here by an elbow, but he chose the right bones. And God has placed us here to be bone to bone with each other. And he knows which bones to connect us to, right? He knows who we are. He put us here, right? I just thank God he didn't put me somewhere else because I like it here, you know? And I like you all here too. So let's talk about some more of these connections. The first connection we have is family. God has put us with our family. We have our children, our parents, our spouses, and this is really the first church unit. You know, it's there. And nourishment is ministered in families. You know, families minister nourishment to their children, and children even minister nourishment back to their parents. See, things go back and forth. I would say parents are nourished by children as well as parents nourishing children. Because when love is received and they respond, something comes back and you get a satisfaction. Even like I think the Lord gets great satisfaction when we respond to Him. So, you know, there's love, there's teaching, there's physical care in a family. And then now there's the people we're next to in church. We come in and we sit where we sit. And if this was a big church with a lot of people, we'd probably have different people sitting next to us all the time, you know. And then we get to know them. But there's people we happen to sit next to, and then there's those that we naturally and spiritually gravitate to. There's certain people we just tend to gravitate to. Now, some of that's because we're naturally, you know, we're both carpenters, so we'll talk to one another. But sometimes there's a spiritual, you know, you gravitate to someone. And sometimes there are people, you know, we talk to them, we call them up, we confide in them. And things like that. Then there's like people in our life groups. There's people in the same ministries that we're in. You know, maybe you're in the worship team, so you're going to fellowship with the other worship team or the cooking partners or cleanup crews. And then we're joined to people we know in the world. Like when we're at work and there's another person that's a Christian, there's always a special bond with that person because you're like alone in the world and you have each other, you know. And that's always a great blessing if there's a Christian on the job. So anyway, God arranges all these connections, all these joints and bands, bone to his bone. And church nourishment also comes through work. And there is, you know, in the economic world, there's what they call division of labor. I learned that in school, you know. One guy doesn't make everything. One guy makes cars. Another guy makes computers, right? And they get good at that thing. And in church, there's a division of labor, you know, and there's many tasks, and you can't do everything. You can't cook while you're playing the piano, right? You do what you're supposed to do, and you do your part. And see, remember what it says, the effectual working of every part. And there's many ministries by which we serve each other. Youth group, kids church, cooking, cleanup, music and worship, preaching, teaching, bookkeeping. So the church requires work. There's work in church. There's no way out of it. And Paul said he labored more than all the other apostles. And while we're talking about this, I'll just say in the line of work, we still need cooks for the third Sunday. So I just thought I'd put that out there. And if we ever get cooks, then we'll also need more dishwashers. Okay. Here's some other examples of joints and bands. We talked about the joints and bands, really, I really wasn't talking about joints and bands. I was talking about bones and body parts, but they're held together by joints and bands. So here's what the joints and bands are. They're every interaction we have with each other. Every interaction. It might be a smile. It might be praying for one another. It might be a greeting. It might be when I think of you during the day. A lot of times I think of different people. They just come to my mind. I mean, not only church, people I grew up with, people I worked with years ago, they come to me in my mind. And I try to pray for them, you know. And also they come to me, you know, well, I'll get to that later. But another joint and band is a gift. When you give someone a gift, whatever it is, you're giving them double. Because you give them the gift, say somebody gives you money, or whatever it is. I'll give another example. So Bob came and helped me a couple weeks ago, or a week or two ago, on a cold day. He came and he helped me put a roof on my barn, right? So he gave me the gift of a roof. But also he gave me the gift that I know he loves me, or he wouldn't have done that, because it was cold. I remember when he called, I thought, oh no, he's changing his mind because it's cold. But he said, how do you get to your house? He was halfway there or something. says, ah, that's Bob, he's coming. But see, it's a double gift. It's a gift to know that somebody cares about you. Like a Christmas present. So somebody gives you a pair of socks, but they care about you. You know what I mean? That's the double portion of the gift. It's like those when those people say, give, and somebody will match your gift. You know, it's a double gift. Okay. Then there's another band, which I call observation of virtue. Now, we're not all strong in every virtue. None of us can fully display Christ. It takes the whole church to display the Lord. So it's possible to have some things and not other things. You can have a lot of understanding about things, but maybe you don't have a lot of love. You need to increase in love, you know. It's possible to have a lot of love, and maybe you don't operate in any spiritual gifts. Now, here's one I have. I think I have a lot of endurance. Now, I'm judging myself, and maybe somebody else might judge that wrong. But you know what I don't have? Patience with others who don't have endurance. What do you mean you're tired? You know what I mean? What do you mean it's cold? So what? You know? What do you mean it's hot? What difference does that make? See, and so I need something else, you know? But maybe somebody could look at me and say, boy, he's got endurance. I want that, right? Or maybe I could look at somebody else. Like I wrote here that I'm easily distracted. And if I observe in you like that you have a single-mindedness, I could look at that and I'm inspired. I think, I'll get to that. I'm here. Okay. You see, things rub off and they rub in. When you're with somebody, there's an interchange, right? When I was a kid, we all played and we were at our neighborhood, and then somebody's cousin would visit them from some other part of the country, and they have an accent, so they would play with us. By the end of the week, I sounded like that kid. I didn't try, right? Now, I mean, parents notice the change in behavior according to their kids hanging out with. Their kid picks up a new friend, next thing you know, the mother knows, boy, ever since you've been hanging out with that guy, you're pretty snippy or sassy, you know, and that'll happen. But it happens the other way, too. You know, it says here in Proverbs 13:20, he that walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. So you walk with wise men, it rubs both ways. But it's up to us to watch when we hang out, you know, who we hang out with to absorb the right things. We can help that. So we nourish one another, we impart to one another. Now, all these joints and bands and relationships, they have to function in the presence of love. So if you remember the scripture we read, makes increase of the body under the edifying of itself in love. Without love, all these joints and bands, they don't work too good. Remember the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man? Didn't he have to have an oil can or a creek? So it's like that. You know, love is like oil, right? And okay, here's what I wrote here. It says, why is love necessary? Often in the church, we act like the world. I mean, I don't, but you might, right? So love is needed to stumble over the failings of our fellow believers. Maybe there's somebody among you, you know, that you're at church sometimes, and you say, boy, they talk too much. They're talking about themselves. They gossip. They complain, right? And of course, I don't do that. But you know, I'm being a wise guy here, I probably do. But if somebody's that way, you know, what are we going to do? Look for another church? And then you're going to go there and it's going to be the same thing. It's like jobs. There's people, oh, I hate this job. That one guy wasn't on the job. He goes another job, there'll be a twin there, right? There's always somebody on the job that is tough to get on. You have to overcome. That's why it says overcome. So we even have to overcome in church. But it says, love is easily provoked, thinks no evil, endures all things. Love is patient, right? Love is kind. So Let me have an analogy here. So the body, a body is filled with fluid, right? And the nutrients are transferred through fluid throughout your whole body. Remember, we're talking about the body is nourished, right? So fluid, you know, there's, you eat something, and it's all squishy in your belly or whatever's in there. It's like a juice. And then somehow that transfers into your blood through fluid, through osmosis. It transfers. And everything goes through fluids in the body. And in the joints, like we talked about the Tin Man, there's something I remember learning in school called synovial fluid. If you take a chicken apart before you cook it, look at that, you know, break the bones apart and just see how the bone works. And there's something really slippery in there. And that's what that is. And that's what love is, the fluids. Love is the fluids, is a picture. The fluids are a picture of love. Everything transfers with love. So, for example, so if I see a quality in you which I wish I had, maybe I might become envious. But love envies not, right? And a few other things, I'll just read some of them. Love suffers long, is kind, envies not. Not vaunteth not itself, seeks not her own, not easily provoked, thinks no evil, you know, bears all things, endures all things. And sometimes it takes that on the job, and sometimes you could take that in church. Because, you know, I have flesh too. We all have flesh. And I could be a grump one day. You know what I mean? And sometimes when you bother me, I'm not saying you do, it might be because I'm the grump, you know? But maybe one day you'll be the grump. So love is needed. Love is needed to endure all things, right? Because remember, we're not like everybody else. We're the body of Christ. We're the body of Christ. So these are the qualities that enable us to bear with one another's iniquities that God has not yet removed. That'd be the summary of that, right? We're all a body of flesh with the Holy Ghost inside, trying to burn up all those iniquities. And in time, he's making progress, but we're still a work in progress, and we're all a work in progress, and love accommodates. So here's the summary. So we have a great calling, and a great privilege. And remember, he calls us to be the perfect man, and he calls the church together to be, or he calls us to come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. But that's, the body has the fullness of Christ. Because he dwells on earth as a many-membered body. We each have a vital part. We're members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. And like Adam said, she's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. The second Adam is the same thing. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And, you know, we need to see each other as Christ's bones. You know, as parts of Christ. And it's our relationships and our interaction through these things is how Christ nourishes us, through our individual relationship with Christ, through the pastor, through the various ministries, and through the little interactions with each other and observing the virtues in each other. And love is that moisture. Love is that moisture, you know. David complained once when he was doing something wrong, and he said, my moisture is gone like the drought of summer. We want to be moist in that sense, right? Full of love. And that's what gives us the long-suffering patience with others as they work out their salvation, right? So there, I submit that to you as the lesson for tonight, and I'll just pray now, if we can. Lord God, may we always value one another because we're members one of another. And you even said, what you do to the least of my brethren, you did for me. Christ abides in every one of us, Lord, and we are thankful for that. May we see each other as you see us, and may you always build us, and may you build us to that perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen.